As we prepare our hearts for the reading and teaching of God's Word, let us together bow our heads and we'll pray for God's Holy Ghost to be with us and to illumine our minds and our hearts to such precious truth, we pray. Let's pray together. Holy God, we come before you as your covenant children, Lord, those whom you have called out of the world unto yourself. But Lord, you have not called us unto out of the world and unto yourself just for vain religious reasons or for just to come one hour a Lord's Day and hear some moral theology. But Lord, you have called us out of the world to be a people devoted unto God. We're reminded of what the angels pray in the book of Revelations, that worthy are you, O Lamb, for you have redeemed peoples and nations and tribes for yourself. And so, Lord, we come and we want more of you, not less of you. We pray that you would teach us this morning as we look at the Lord's Day and the Sabbath. We pray that you would motivate us to be people who hold to that such a precious doctrine, and that we would be devoting our entire day to worship and fellowship of the saints. Pray, God, that you would reveal all these truths to us. But more importantly, we pray also that you would reveal to us your Son, and out of love for him, that we might obey and serve him with all that we have. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. I'd like to invite you to take God's word and turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 23, verse 50, and we'll be reading all the way to 24, verse 12. That's Luke, chapter 23, verse 50 to 24, verse 12. The Word of God reads, "Now there was a man named Joseph from a Jewish town of Arimathea, and he was a member of the council, a good and a righteous man, who had not consented to their decision and action, and he was looking for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. And when he took it down and wrapped it in a linen shroud, and laid him in a tomb cut in stone, where no one had yet been laid. It was the day of preparation, and the Sabbath was beginning. And the women who had come with him from Galilee followed and saw the tomb and how the body was laid. And when they had returned and prepared spices and ointments, and on the Sabbath day they rested according to the commandment. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. And when they found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And when as their faces were frightened, and they bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, 'Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember, he told you, while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and on the third day rise.' And they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Jonah, and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women who were with them, who told all these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in, and he saw the linen clothes by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened." Here ends the reading of God's precious holy word. This morning, we'll be speaking really in reference to verses 23, 54 through 56, and 21, verses 1 through 3, but I thought we might get the full scope of the passage. The title of this message this morning is "The Day Changed and the Sabbath Preserved. My wife told me I must give credit to whom gave this title to me." It's A.A. Hodge wrote a book entitled "The Day Changed and Sabbath Preserved," and I thought it was such a fantastic title, I needed to steal it, so all credit goes to him. on that one. I wouldn't have done it without Lisa's provoking me to, but thank you, dear. The day changed and the Sabbath preserved. Beloved congregation, when we cast our minds to the analyzing of our social environment, that is our society, there comes an inward discomfort and at times an inward pain. We cannot help but be sorrowful as we ponder the moral climate of which we live. The magnitudes of evil is so great that we could not even fathom them all at once. As Christians, above all people, we are the first to admit that our generation is corrupt and crooked and depraved. Now, whether you are a liberal or a conservative, whether you're a man or a woman, or whether you're a Baptist or you're Reformed, we all admit that there's a problem. But in order to properly diagnose the problems of our society, we as Christians must recognize that all modern ills must be interpreted through the lens of the Ten Commandments, which are the laws of morality that God Himself has given us. We serve a great God, do we not? We serve a great God, do you believe it? And one of the most beautiful things that our God gives us is rest. I'm reminded of the words of the psalmist who says, "The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. And He makes me lie down in green pastures, and He leads me beside still waters." David describes in Psalm 23 that even in his darkest of times, the Lord gives him rest. God gives him rest. Yet for so many of us, this rest seems to elude us, doesn't it? As you drove here this morning to Sabbath worship, how many cars did you pass by? On Sunday morning on the roadways, it is filled with trucks and cars, but we know that church is not their destination. We pass public schools, and we know that the public education system is in such a state of moral crisis because they do not teach the fear of the Lord, and therefore their efforts are fruitless. Our malls are packed with busy shoppers. Gas station prices are highest on Sunday because it's the busiest day of the week. Restaurant workers have more employees on Sunday than any other to feed the people after church. Yet, when we come to Sunday school, the room is nearly empty. And look around you, brothers and sisters. We have room to spare in this worship service. You see, brothers and sisters, we love the Ten Commandments. We love to quickly correct our children when they speak the Lord's name irreverently. We rejoice when God says, "Thou shalt not steal." But when it comes to commandment number 4, oh, that's for somebody else. That's not for me. And that's not for my community and my society. But yet, after careful study, I stand before you today telling you that there can be no other way to straighten out our crooked generation than Sabbath observance. Nothing but a weekly day of worship, where the saints come and are edified, where we spend an entirety of a day dwelling in prayer, dwelling in the Word, dwelling on the majesty of God, will quell the ignorance that runs our society. But more so than that, I want you to know the true doctrine of the Sabbath because it gives you joy. The Sabbath is a doctrine of joy. And because often in the Scriptures, intrinsically bound in the command to observe a Sabbath is that there's a promise of fulfillment of joy in Christ. Brothers and sisters, do you want that joy? In this Sunday morning service, we'll spend our time speaking of the Sabbath and how Jesus in His death, His burial, and His resurrection is Lord of the Sabbath. And He does not abolish it. And He does not cast away something that helps the church and society so greatly. but rather he effectively changed the day that the church meets from Saturday to Sunday. The first thing we need to notice together, my friends, is the Old Testament observance, which is Luke 24, verses 54 through 56, the Old Testament Sabbath observance. One of the aspects of living here in Whitby and in the Durham region that so fascinates me is how much Toronto and the GTA in the Durham region have grown over the years. I have been told that when this church building was built, there was nothing as far as you could see but farm fields. And now, oh, how our community has grown. We've become a city, haven't we? And as our cities and societies have grown and gotten busier and busier, one of the results of our cities and our lives have become busier and busier. Parents may not have time for their children. How many times have we had heard wives say of their husbands that they have no time for them? And there, I would suggest to you that there's no greater insult that someone can say to you than, I just don't have any time for you. To give someone your time is to show them that you are vital to them. Now, brothers and sisters, if a human relationship can be tragically broken and deeply wounded by not having time for them, what of our relationship with God? You see, in the old covenant, there was something that was lacking, or something that they had that is lacking today, and that is that the Sabbath was holy. Holy means to be set apart, consecrated unto a purpose for God. Look at how these holy women, or how holy these women from Galilee treated the Sabbath day. Verses 54 through 56. It was the day of preparation, and the Sabbath was beginning. And the woman who had come with him from Galilee followed and saw the tomb and how his body was laid. And then they returned and prepared spices and ointments. But on the Sabbath they rested according to the commandment. Consider this, that they had just watched the Sanhedrin, who are the leaders of the Jewish religion, crucify and kill their Lord unjustly. Could you just put them yourselves in their shoes for one moment? Imagine weeping for days, pouring perfume upon his feet, seeing the man you love naked, bloody, and dying upon the cross. This was the man they worshipped. Brothers and sisters, their heart must have just been ripped out of their chest. And there they come, and they want him to prepare his body for burial, but it's the Sabbath. And they obey the Sabbath. Not even in their sorrowest of states, not even their most darkest of moments, not even in the darkest of days, were they willing to break the Sabbath. Why would they do such a thing? You must ask yourselves a question. For me, it seems that the smallest of things will make me not observe the Sabbath. I'm tired. Why do I go to church? I just want to stay home and watch TV. But these women, they saw it as a holy day, and they obeyed it. Why would they do such a thing? Well, I'm going to suggest to you that they obeyed the Sabbath out of love for God. When we set aside time for someone, especially in the hardest of times, it shows them that we love them. You know, both the Old and New Testaments teach that the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Beloved, do you know that the first four commandments are about loving God? The first commandment teaches us that we are to love God alone. You can't have a divide. You can't serve a master if your heart is divided. You are to love the Lord your God alone. Secondly, is the manner in which we are to love him. We're not to love idols. We're not to love him in ways that he has not asked us to love him. It's the manner in which we are to love him. Third is the reverence by which we love him. He is to be reverenced. Our love for him is to be for him alone. And fourthly is that he desires us to express our love for him on the Sabbath day. You know, there are some well-meaning people who twist these words, teaching us that The only reason the Jews obeyed the Sabbath was it was some work of salvation. But a few weeks ago, brothers and sisters, you remember that we made it clear that's not the case. God gave the law not as a means of salvation. No man could be saved by the works of the law, but he gave the law to restrain their sin and to foster hope in Christ. Thus, my friends, this Sabbath observance that these women are participating is not about earning your way to heaven. It's about loving God. They loved God too much to be able to disobey the Sabbath. They loved the salvation that he gave them. They loved the fact that God rested on the Sabbath day in creation and employs them. He desires that they participate with him in that rest. I want to show you this. I don't want this to escape your mind. Please take your Bibles and turn with me to Exodus chapter 20, verse 8. That's Exodus chapter 20, verse 8. Exodus chapter 20, verse 8. Moses is on the Mount Sinai receiving the Ten Commandments that are written by the very finger of God himself. And the fourth commandment reads like this: Remember the Sabbath day, and to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant, your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and the seas and all that is in them, and he rested upon the seventh day. And the Lord blessed the Sabbath, and he made it holy. Brothers and sisters, we confess that the Ten Commandments are the moral fabric of the universe. You go to a random tribe in the middle of the jungle, and you will find that they still, in some form, obey a Ten Commandments. These were the words engraved in stone by the very finger of God itself, and he teaches us four things within it, two positive and two negative. The first thing he teaches is you got to remember the Sabbath day. You know, I don't have a son yet, but one day I will, and he will be born on a certain day, and it's going to be important that I remember the day that he was born, and it's a lot more important that I remember the day that my wife was born. Isn't that right, gentlemen? But to remember is not only to look forward to it, but you need to remember as to what happened on that day. God calls the church to remember the Sabbath, to ponder and to consider the work of creation, and how on the seventh day, God rested from his work. And on the seventh day, the Old Testament church was to rest from their work, to cease from their work, and to really meditate on God's act of creation, devoting one day of seven to the Lord. They were to remember the Sabbath day. That's the first command. But secondly, they were to remember the Sabbath day with action. They were to keep it holy. Now, in the Old Testament, of course, you guys know on Wednesday nights, we're going through the book of Leviticus, where they talk about bowls and utensils and basins and pots and different things. And the Lord says, you got to consecrate them. You got to make them holy. It meant that those bowls and pots and basins and utensils were set apart from ordinary bowls, pots, utensils, basins, and they were set apart for a sacred use, not for ordinary use. You couldn't take that bowl home and eat with it. It was for God because it was holy. And the Lord says the Sabbath day is to be set apart for sacred use to God. Keep in mind, this doesn't say keep holy 1 hour at church. It says keep the whole day holy. 6 days you do business, but the Sabbath is for God. Now, it's about now when people start to lunge for my throat. They start to say, you know, do you know how impractical that is to keep your children from watching television or to not go out for lunch or whatever, what have you? But I'm going to suggest here that a Christian should love to spend a day worshiping God. If my father called me this afternoon and said, Jake, I love you, man. I was just wondering if you could come over next Saturday and just hang out with me for a whole day. I would jump at the chance. I love my Father, and I know He loves me, and if He wants to spend time with me, then I should love to spend time with Him because I love Him. The Sabbath observance is about, where is your heart? Do you love God? If you love God, you'll love to spend time with God. And that's the second thing. So remember the Sabbath day. That's the first one. Keep it in your mind what happened on the Sabbath. But secondly, we need to keep it holy. We need to spend our day with the Lord, doing godly things. Thirdly, we go to the negative demands. The Lord says, on it you shall do no work. On it you shall do no work. As we talked about, the day is sanctified. It's to be devoted to holy things. And on the Sabbath, we rest from our work. What does that mean? It means personal work, family work, school work, business work. We're called by God to do no working on the Sabbath. Now, of course, we know that the Pharisees misunderstood this, didn't they? They thought that this meant that we couldn't even move. That was their interpretation. You couldn't even walk. You couldn't prepare meals. You couldn't visit the sick. You couldn't even do real ministries. That's where they tied those heavy burdens upon the Jews. But our God doesn't burden you with the Sabbath. That's what I'm trying to get across to you. It's not a burden to observe the Sabbath. It's not a burden to lay down for rest at night. It's not a burden to take a nap when you're tired. The Lord gives you rest. There's no burden that comes with rest. That's when your burden is relieved. What would you do if your boss called you this, tomorrow, and he says to you, brother, sister, I want to give you 52 days off work this year so you can rest, so you can spend time with your family, so you can worship your God, so you can pray, you can be refreshed. You'd chomp at the bit. You'd want it so badly. And that's what God calls us to. He calls us to do a day of refreshment, a day of rest, a day of worship, a day of spend time with your family and your friends. And fourthly, in the second commandment, we don't employ others to work on the Sabbath. All of creation, okay? Doesn't matter if you're from Canada or you're from Indonesia. It doesn't matter where you're from. All of creation is demanded by God to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. It's a universal command. And when we, fill up our cars on Sunday, and we frequent the restaurants, I don't think we're giving folks the opportunity to obey that command. And I believe that if the shops and the stores were closed, there would actually be more people in church. The Lord God gave the Sabbath to Adam in the garden as a blessing for him and for the world. My little brother Tyler, he's studying mental health. I called him and I asked him, is there any psychological implications for taking a day off work and sort of spending the day meditating and focusing on refreshment? And he said that it's become a universally understood fact that taking a day off from work is absolutely necessary. But the Sabbath is not just about physical rest. It's not just about physical rest. It's about spending the day in worship, service to God. And when a day is not spent in worship and in service of God, there's no wonder that we lack the nearness of God. We lack the rest that comes with God. And we lack the wisdom of God. Secondly, so that's the Old Testament Sabbath observance very briefly. But secondly, we need to notice the New Testament Sabbath observance. It's a contentious debate. Is there a New Testament Sabbath observance? But let's read verse 1 of 24. It says, on the Sabbath, well, actually 56, I apologize. On the Sabbath, they rested according to the commandment, but on the first day of the week, says the Word of God. Now, we've covered briefly what the Old Testament teaches in regards to the Sabbath, but now we come to the New Testament, and the question is, does the New Testament teach that there is a Sabbath for the people of God? Ought we to treat the Lord's Day as the Jews treated the Sabbath in the Old Testament? Is there a Sabbath rest for the people of God, the Christians? To which our forefathers answered in Heidelberg Catechism, question 103, the answer is yes. The question says, what does God require in the fourth commandment? That the ministry of the gospel and the schools be maintained, especially on that festive day of rest. Our church documents assert that we are to observe a Sabbath day. We are to observe a rest day. Now, let me be the first to publicly say that I have not always agreed with this principle. In fact, when I first came to Emmanuel Church some 3+ years ago, this was not something I was convicted of, and have often come to Sunday school with a Tim Hortons coffee in my hand, or have gotten pizza after church, have done homework in the evening. And so I stand before you, my congregation, and I repent of that. I was wrong to do so. And with careful study of God's word, I found myself humbled. But more than humbled, I found myself delighted to know that the blessings of the Sabbath are not for the Jews alone, but for me also. So what went wrong, we might ask? Why do so many Christians work on Sunday? Why do so many Christians buy and make others work on the Lord's Day? Well, we've forgotten where the Sabbath has come from. Because the Sabbath is not clearly seen first at Mount Sinai in Exodus or Mount Horeb in Deuteronomy, but the Sabbath was given by God in Genesis 1 and 2. It predates Moses by generations. We have evidence to believe that Cain and Abel obeyed the Sabbath, that Abraham and Noah obeyed the Sabbath. It's a creation principle. And when something is rooted in creation, no man may pull it out. Marriage between man and woman is defined in creation. No man may pull that out. Headship is clearly defined in creation. No man may pull that out. God covenanting with man is there in the creation narrative. And the Sabbath is given in creation. Who among us has the authority to change the command of God given in creation? Only one man has the authority to change that. Matthew 12, verse 8, for the Son of Man is made Lord of the Sabbath. Jesus teaches us what proper Sabbath observance is. It's not binding the conscience to ungodly things like the Pharisees did. It's not wounding the believers. Jesus was the most active on the Sabbath than all other days. He, on Saturday, healing, preaching, being merciful to God's people. Jesus shows us what it means to call the Sabbath a delight. And Luke even says in Luke 4, it was the custom of Jesus to be at the synagogue and worship with the saints. And all of this points us that there will be a new Sabbath day. It says in verse 56, on the Sabbath they rested according to the commandment, verse 1, but on the first day of the week, on the first day of the week, the grave could not contain him. His power was too great, God's plan too perfect, Jesus' atonement so wonderful. God the Father raised him from the grave. And our Lord Jesus rose from the dead, and he did not raise up bloody and bruised, but he raised up glorified and in majesty. And oh, my friends, when he stood in that grave, he stood up as your mighty king. He stood up strong and victorious, and he took the chains that bound you in sin, and he broke them and shattered them in his might. Satan was defeated. Death has no victory, and the Lord Jesus entered his eternal rest, prepared for him by God the Father. He entered his rest. And you remember what God did on the seventh day. He rested. On the seventh day of the week, where was Jesus' body? On Saturday, where was Jesus' body? It was in the grave. But on the first day, he rose and he entered his rest. The book of Hebrews teaches us that we are to strive to enter his rest, the rest that gives us in his redemption. So what did this mean for the early New Testament Christians? Well, they began to treat the Lord's Day as the Sabbath, as a Sabbath of God, and God blessed it. So Jesus is risen from the grave on Sunday, and then he appears to his disciples and doubting Thomas on Sunday, a week later. God sent his Spirit at Pentecost on Sunday. Christians gather for worship on the Lord's Day. Acts 2, verse 7, Acts 20, verse 7, 1 Corinthians 6, verses 1 and 2. And John says that in the book of Revelation that his final word, God's final word of prophecy, was given to John on the Lord's Day. Jesus Christ in his resurrection teaches us and the church that he is the Lord of the Sabbath, and that the church understood his resurrection to mean that the Christian Sabbath is now established on the Lord's Day, which is Sunday. Now, this is something that my wife and I do practice, and something we found to be very beneficial to our souls. But before we held this position, as I mentioned, that earlier I wasn't of that conviction, but before we held this position, I remember, I'm just going to tell you a quick story. One day after church, Sunday afternoon, I went to Domino's Pizza, which is right by Durham Christian Homes. Nobody caught me, I guess. And I came home with the pizza, and you wouldn't believe my eyes. There was about 150 people standing right here beside the house, or beside the church in the house. 150 of them just standing there, staring at their phones. It was like manna came from heaven. I was just going like, what's going on here? I couldn't understand it. So I walk into the midst of all these people. I got a pizza. I got my suit on. What are you doing here? And what had happened is that they were all playing this video game on their phone where they had to go around town catching Pokemon. And our church was one of the places where there was a Pokemon. 150 of them, just standing there. And Lisa goes to me, how often do you have 150 people who don't go to church on Sunday standing here? Get up and preach. And so I'm going, yeah, you're right, I got to preach, right? So I'm getting ready, I'm going into the house, I'm thinking about something, maybe I'll use Heidelberg Catechism chapter 1, or maybe I'll do this. My mind was going 100 miles an hour. I look outside and they're gone. They had gone to City Hall, where the next one was. I guess it moves. I don't know. I don't play it. But, you know, you might call this silly, but if I was there, if I wasn't causing somebody else to work, if I was at home hallowing the Sabbath day, I could have told them about the gospel. I should have stood up on that step over there and proclaimed to them Christ and him crucified. It was too late. They left. And I hadn't set the day aside. And I dearly regret it. Brothers and sisters, don't make the same mistake. For our Bible makes it clear. The Sabbath is for you too. And it's a blessing for you. In conclusion, I just want to show you the joy and the benefits of the Sabbath before we conclude this morning. If you have a Bible in front of you, I'd appreciate if you turn with me to Isaiah 58, verse 13. You see, when those women came to that tomb and they found that stone rolled away and the body of Jesus was not there, they were delighted. They were delighted. And as Christians, we are to delight in the Sabbath. In fact, the Bible prophesies that the Lord's Day is the source of the delight of a Christian. Isaiah 58, verse 13 and 14. Of course, we know Isaiah is a book that prophesies about the new covenant. It prophesies about the future realities in Christ, and this is what he says. If you turn back your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and you call the Sabbath a delight, and the holy day of the Lord, that's where Lord's Day comes from, holy day of the Lord, honorable. If you honor it, not going your own ways or seeking your own pleasure or talking idly, then you shall take delight in the Lord. And I will make you ride on the heights of the earth, and I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Isaiah, this book of Isaiah is about prophecies about the new covenant, and he prophesies that there is a holy day of the Lord. He's talking about the benefits given to Sabbath keepers. The first benefit is you shall take delight in the Lord. God promises that those who understand and seek to practice the Sabbath, they will be given joy, joy in the Lord. If we long to spend time with the Lord, if we spend our days in worship, gathering our family, taking our friends and saying, let us pursue God together, I guarantee you will be like David saying, I would rather spend a day in the house of the Lord than 1,000 elsewhere. We are to look to the Sabbath and enjoy the nearness of Him and enjoy the joy that He produces in our hearts on the Lord's Day. Second, He says, I'll make you ride on the heights of the earth. This is that imagery that you're riding away after a victory in battle. This, of course, speaks of Christ's victory. How when He stood in that grave as a resurrected Savior, He had broken the chains and the powers of death. As Paul cries out in Romans 8:37, we are more than conquerors, because Christ has won the victory. Oh, brothers and sisters, I hope you ride home from church today knowing that God will make you ride on the heights of the earth, but don't stop there. Return home and focus on godly things. Thirdly and finally, the third blessing that God gives to those who keep the Sabbath, He says, I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob, your father. Jacob was given all good things from God, and He will fill us with good things. Those who keep the Sabbath and love the Sabbath and call it their delight will lack nothing. And this is the promise that God makes to those who practice Sabbath observance. My final word this morning is this. I am not here to tell you what you can and cannot do on the Lord's Day. That is not my intention. I don't want to be a Pharisee. I'm not going to give you a list of things you must do and things that you may not do. But I am here to remind you that for so many of us, we are settling for less than the blessings that God offers us. God and this Sabbath day are to be our delight. And when we only give Him a few hours in the week, it shows us how delightful He truly is to us. I know many of you are from the province in the Netherlands called Friesland. And so I'm going to quote to you in conclusion a Frisian pastor named Wilhelmus A. Brockel, who says this, the Sabbath is a delight. However, it's a Sabbath to delight in the Lord, not in ourselves. Brothers and sisters, go in peace. I pray that you would go home praying, reading your scripture, spending time with your families. If you have an opportunity to take in a second service, I'd encourage you to do so. And I pray, my prayer for you is that this day would be a delight in Christ and His work. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before You. And we pray, Lord, that as You have hallowed the Sabbath day, both in the old and in the new, and You've effectively transitioned that day to this morning and this whole day, we pray, Father, that You would bless us, that You would give us a heart and a mind to obey this truth and to commit ourselves to not causing other people to work and to continue to further that mentality that church is not necessary, but Lord, that we would spend our day delighting in You. Pray, Father, that we would delight in godly things, not worldly things. Stir our hearts, we pray, to faith, to love, to the ordinances of Christ and His word. We love You, Lord Jesus. We pray all these things in Your name. Amen.